Church family, good morning. I hope that you've got that second cup of coffee now and maybe eating your breakfast and joining in with us, maybe still in your PJs or however that's comfortable for you, but don't get too comfortable. God wants to do something in your world today. And when we think about our world, the things that we're experiencing right now, we look at this globe and it seems a little out of control. Things around the world that are still happening, still dealing with the pandemic. People are dying left and right in so many countries around the world, including ours. And even in our own state, we're experiencing so many tragic deaths. And healthcare workers on the front lines of this experiencing, I think about 20% of the death rate has been in the healthcare profession. So let's remember them in our prayers. It seems like all this is just really out of control. And God is still in control. And we don't know, and I can't tell you what God is doing in his world. He created it, it's his. But I do know this, that God is calling his church back together. He's calling all of those who've been afar off to come home. He's calling unbelievers to now step in the faith. And God is doing something in his world. He's bringing a revival that we cannot even imagine yet through this difficult, tragic time in our world. We have no other resource but God. So we continue reading in Daniel chapter 2. Last week, we read Daniel chapter 1. And we saw where Daniel had to trust God in his situation. He was taken away from his homeland. He was brought over into Babylon with other friends, about 15,000 captives there, taken to Babylon. And Daniel just had to trust God through it all. But God sent Daniel there for a particular reason, and he wasn't there to remain a slave. Daniel loved the Lord, and he trusted God through this difficulty. And listen, that's our call. God is calling us to be some Daniels, to be the people of God, to trust him in an out-of-control world today. So we see what Daniel has to go through next. He and his three friends along with him. So we begin reading in Daniel chapter 2 from verse 1 through verse 29. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation." The king replied to the Chaldeans, "The command for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn from limb to limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. So get this, the king wanted his wise men, the Chaldeans and the magicians and enchanters and all of these guys, to tell him what his dream was. He did not tell them his dream. So as we continue reading, "But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time and said, "Let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation." The king replied, "I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, insomuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can declare the matter for the king, insomuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there's no one else who could declare to the king except God's, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now, get the picture. Daniel and Rabshakeh, Meshach, and Abednego were all wise men, but they were not in this meeting with the king. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the guard, king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azra, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from God from heaven, discerning this matter, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a great night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Lord of heaven. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what it is, what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of our fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. And now, even now, you have made known to me what you requested of me, that you have made known to us the king's matter. Verse 24 says, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have in this and its interpretation? Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurer, magician, nor diviners are able to help declare it to the king. However, I like that, underline that. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This is your dream and the visions of your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what would take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretations known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. As you continue reading that chapter, you'll see what the dream was that Daniel told him, that God gave him interpretation for, and the interpretation for king. that escalated Daniel to great prominence in Babylon. Let's see how Daniel handled this and some lessons we can learn through all this message. Let's pray together. Father God, today, just bless your word. Lord, bless the reading of your word for our understanding. And God, how as we are facing challenges in our time, even as somewhat Daniel had faced, Lord, I pray that you just begin to open our eyes to see a process. Lord, there's some things in our life that we need to do. Follow Daniel's leadership in this, God. And Lord, teach us. Sometimes, God, we don't know what to do. So often, Lord, we feel so lost and helpless. And Lord, for many, this is a time. And God, we just throw ourselves at your feet and at your mercy upon your grace. Show us and teach us, Lord. We have open ears and open hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are four lessons this morning that we can learn from this encounter that Daniel had in his own life. This experience can help us grow in our own experiences. The first lesson is this, that life really is out of our control. If you have not figured that one out yet, life really is out of our control. Even our best efforts cannot control people from making poor choices or prevent problems from invading our lives. We can see so many things going on around us. But listen, we have very little control over a lot of it. We can only control what we do and what we say, what we act like, our behavior. We can control that. Listen, you can't control someone else. And you can't control what's going on in our world right now. It's out of your control, out of my control. We see in verse 12 and verse 13 where those magicians had met with the king and they could not bring the king's dream to light and they could not bring the interpretation with it. So a threat went out to kill all the wise men. This is where verse 12 and 13 says the king was furious. And when he heard this, he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. Now, Daniel wasn't in there. His three friends weren't in that meeting. And because of the king's decree, men were sent out to kill Daniel and his friends. Even though they weren't in the meeting, the question was not posed to them. They still were going to be killed. It was out of their control. They had nothing to do in there. Now, you know, maybe if Daniel would have been in there, he could have heard it firsthand, but the decree went out to kill them. Daniel was facing a life and death situation. Listen, there are so many times when we're facing with situations where that someone else began. You can be a victim of someone else's foolishness and their bad decisions. Did you realize that? And maybe you're feeling victimized right now by what someone else has done. Listen, Daniel felt that. For Daniel, he wasn't in the presence of the king to hear what the king was having a problem and that the dream needed to be interpreted. Daniel was not among those magicians and astrologers. He was back at his own residence doing what wise men do of that day. The king was furious with his chosen wise men for trying to fool him. They wanted the king to tell him what their dream was, and they were just going to make something up as an interpretation of it. But the king was on to that. He was testing them. He wanted them to tell him his own dream. So in the king's anger, he ordered that all these wise men of Babylon be killed and their houses destroyed because they couldn't fulfill his request. So Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, they all faced the same death penalty, the same death sentence as the ones who were in the king's court. They had to go with the bad. And you know what? And we're facing this situation in our world today. There are some faithful, godly people who love the Lord who are losing their lives because of a pandemic. There are people who are around the world who are unbelievers who are losing their lives because of pandemic. In other words, things that are happening in our world, we may not cause it, but we're all experiencing it together. It rains on the good and the evil alike, and the sun shines on the good and evil alike. We've all felt the sting of and the craziness of and insecurity and confusion and stress from our current situation in our nation and in our world through all this pandemic that's going on. Listen, we didn't cause it, yet we're all experiencing the situations together. We're all having to stay at home. We'd love to go to work. We'd love to socialize with our friends. We would love to go do a lot of things, but we can't. Our world's a little out of control. Maybe on the top of the crisis that we're all experiencing right now, you're dealing with a level of hurt that someone else caused. Maybe some confusion from losses going on in your own life. You didn't cause it. You didn't ask for it. Yet you're right in the middle of it. Matter of fact, you may even warn some people not to do some things or say some things or act in a certain way or behave that way, but they did it anyway. And now you feel that you're part of that consequences. Listen, you can relate to what Daniel was going through. You can relate to this helpless feeling of unforeseen situations that happen in our life. Listen, life really is out of our control. We can't control what God does in His world, what He allows to take place in His world. We can only control our decision. We can only control our attitudes and our actions. But life is unpredictable and constantly changing all the time. Once you think you've got one thing and it's under control, something else happens. Some other change takes place. Maybe what you're experiencing in this pandemic has gotten you anxious and stressed and worried. There's a lot of people who are experiencing that to one level or another. Maybe your situation in your family, maybe your finances, maybe your job, maybe your business or your educational entity has you feeling helpless against the trouble and the challenges you face. Listen. It was said that the loneliest moment in someone's life is when they are watching their whole world fall apart and all they can do is stare blankly. Ultimately, many things in life are out of our control, but God is still in control over His creation and over your situation. God, listen, church, God is still in control over things in your life. Whatever He allows in our life, He knew about it already. He knew that it was going to happen. He knew how we were going to act or react. And He's waiting for us to be found faithful through all these things. That we grow faithfully personally and with our family and our priorities. God is bringing us together to do something internally that will show externally. We really are not in control of our world. He is. The second lesson we can learn is do not lose yourself in bad news and dire situations. Sometimes we just need to click the TV off. Sometimes we need to turn the radio station. Sometimes we need just to separate ourselves from the bad news and the dire situations. We know it's there. But if that's all we're feeding ourselves hour after hour during the day, it's amazing how it begins to hush up faith and exploit and magnify fear. See, when troubling situations in our life, we may feel like falling apart, yet Christ Jesus is here to hold us up and to hold us together to guide us through the dark times. He's holding us up. And He's holding us together because there are some moments we just want to fall apart. See, our attitude and our mindset matter to keep our emotions in check as we navigate through this crisis. Verse 14 and 16 from the New Living Translation of Daniel chapter 2 It says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill him, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. He asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him all what had happened. And Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what his dream meant. Arioch came to do what he did not really want to do. Arioch liked Daniel. He did not want to hurt these wise men, but he had to do what the king had ordered him to do. And Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were all part of that order of the king to be killed. Listen, Daniel held his emotions in check. When the bad news came to him, he said, when Arioch showed up to kill him, Daniel didn't run the other way. He held his cool. That's faith. He held his emotions in check. His faith was in the deliverance of God, not in himself. Daniel was cool, calm, and collected. He responded with wisdom and discretion. Daniel didn't rant. He didn't have an emotional breakdown. He didn't lose his faith and run the other way. And he didn't lose his senses about where he must turn and who he had to turn to. Daniel kept his focus that, listen, I didn't ask for this situation, but this is the situation I'm in. I know where to go. I'm going to God. With the Lord guiding Daniel, listen, he exhibited self-control even though his situation was out of control. He was confident and he was courageous to face the king to give him the answer he desired. Now, Daniel did something very brave. He went before the king himself. Now, the king had just given an order for them all to be killed. And he asked Arioch, I want to go see the king. Did you hear the courage in that? You see the faith in that? That Daniel knew that God was in control, that God was leading him. He had him hemmed up in the front. He had him hemmed up in the back. And on the sides, God was with him all the way. Listen, so often when we get bad news or feel like our world is falling apart, we want to try to fix things. Well, we're some fixers, right? We like control. We like fixing. We like fixing, trying to fix people. We like trying to fix situations to make it all better. And here, Daniel couldn't fix this, but he knew the one who could. He couldn't fix it, but he knew the one who could. Sometimes we get so often absorbed in bad news. We get so absorbed in the negative. We get so absorbed in all those things that are coming at us that just magnify fear, magnify our stress, and magnify our worry, that we just get ate up with all that. Daniel's giving us an example. Trust God. You know he's in control. Trust him. Walk with courage that we're going to get through this. You know, being wise, being smart, as the Lord leads us to be smart, but we're going to get through all of this because God has the answer. See, oftentimes we simply give in to the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We give away our peace. We give away our joy simply because we want control over it rather than turning to God. See, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this. He says, I have told you these things so that in me, you heard that? So that in me, Jesus is talking about himself, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. John 16, 33. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Oh, just gives us more fuel. Just gives us more fire. You feel the Holy Spirit stirring in you this morning? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous hand. Jesus is saying, listen, I've got you. I know what you're going through. I know what you're experiencing. I have everything in my control. It is there. I'm very much aware of it. I'm just waiting for you to trust me enough to walk with courage and walk in faith. It's one thing to say you have faith. It's another thing to practice it every day, to put it into action. If we say that we're people of faith, we have to walk in faith. We have to act in faith. We have to say that God is leading. He has us hemmed up in the front. He has us hemmed up in the back and on the sides. He knows everything about us. Jesus is saying, in me you have peace. Oh, Christian, do you have peace today? Do you have the joy that even in an out-of-control world, as we don't know what's going on, but God does, is your peace still abiding strongly in you? Is the joy of the Lord still coming from the very core of your being? Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in the world, but you're going to have peace in me. Dave Willis says, when I'm worried, it's usually because I'm trying to do everything myself. When I'm at peace, it's usually because I remember that God is in control. The third lesson we can learn this morning is that prayer moves us into God's will. Prayer moves us into God's will. God gave us the gift of prayer. He gave us the gift of prayer for us. It's a gift that we have access to God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit to go before our Father and make our requests known. See, God is sovereign and His will is assured providence in which we will align ourselves to live out our purpose when we pray and seek Him. Daniel, in verse 17 and 18 in chapter 2, says, then Daniel went home. So he met with the king. He told the king, give me a little time here. So give me a little time and I'll come back with your answer. See the confidence in that? Then Daniel went home, and he told his friends, Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. He told them what had happened. In verse 18, he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so that they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. Daniel went home and prayed. He told his friends, I want you to pray too. If we all come together and pray, God's going to give us the answer. Church, that's a lesson for us right there. When the church comes together and pray, you can pray at your house. We join our faith together and we rush heaven with our prayers and say, Lord, I'm here. Matter of fact, next Friday, Good Friday, April 10th, I believe it is, we're having fasting and prayer. Area pastors have gotten together, and we're encouraging our churches to join us for Good Friday. Fast as long as you can and pray for God's deliverance in our situation. Listen, Daniel began to pray. He begins to pray intentionally, and he begins to pray intensively for God's answer to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And he also urges his friend to pray in agreement with him for the answer to the king's mysterious dreams. I think Daniel's first action was to go to the one who had the answer. He wanted to make sure that the king wasn't going to kill him first. And he said, listen, I know where the answer is at. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the answer. Listen, prayer connects with God, and he brings his will into our lives. What prayer does for us, it opens us, it shows submission to God. Our prayer shows submission to God and say, God, here I am. I'm your willing servant. I seek your will, Lord, for my life. I seek your will for this situation. God, bring your answer. I'm your willing servant to do it. Oh, will we just submit ourselves to God? It's amazing what God will do when we submit ourselves to Him. Daniel went to his home, told his friends, listen, let's go before God. We're submitting ourselves. Daniel had faced a crisis to his faith when the king issued the decree. Could you imagine? We're being issued a decree right now in this pandemic to our faith. Listen, there's a crisis in some people's faith because they're allowing fear to overwhelm their faith. And God is calling his church to stand up in faith and pray. Seek heaven. This answer will be eliminated. This virus eliminated from our world. Daniel's focus was to seek God first. We find in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. See, when we seek God first, we give God our best. We seek God first. It's amazing how he takes care of the rest for us. God has allowed us to spend time with one another and our family there. But he's also quieted us down. You can only do so much yard work and housework. You can only fish so much. God is quieting us down so that he can get our attention, so that we open ourselves up to him. Sometimes God has to take away things to get our attention. Sometimes God has to knock us flat on our back to get our attention. God would do great things and wonderful things in our life, but sometimes first he has to put us at the bottom. Always remember, he is the rock at the bottom that he brings you to, because he's going to do a work in your life. He's trying to teach you something and tell you something and grow you somewhere. Daniel sought God first. He prayed in desperation for God's answer and his will to be done. Verse 19 says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Daniel had no other resources but God. He didn't have an answer book. He didn't have a computer. He didn't have anything else to go to. The only resource Daniel had was God. There was no one, no man, no book, nothing out there that had the answer but God. No man could reveal the king's dream and its interpretation. There was no man with such authority. Only God could give the answer. And Daniel put his life, his faith, his future in God's care. Can we do that? Can we just put our faith, our life, our future, everything, our well-being in God's care? Daniel truly was desperately dependent on God. Daniel aligned himself with God's providential plan and purpose through prayer. Martin Luther said this. He says, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. God's waiting for his people to pray. God wants to hear from us. God wants communication with us. You don't have to go anywhere to communicate with God. You can communicate God right where you are. Just call out to him. He wants to hear from you. He doesn't want to hear our memorized prayers. God created you uniquely. He knows you back and forth. He knows everything about you. Psalm 139. He knows everything about you. He just wants to hear from you. Oh, church, speak to your Father in heaven. Daniel began to praise God for his answer and his faithfulness. Lesson 4 tells us this, that we can trust God, that we can trust God. Sounds like a broken record, because he's ultimately in control. We can trust God because he's ultimately in control of our out-of-control world. Listen, it's not the government. Not the federal government, a state government. It's not a government around the world. It's no man that's in control of this. God is. God's control of everything in this life. The things that are seen and unseen. Know that God is in control that He is trustworthy, that the Father you're praying to loves you, has mercy, has grace, and has good favor, and wants well-being in your life, you can trust Him. We see in verse 27 and 29, Daniel replied, a New Living Translation, "There are no wise men, enchanters, or magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret." Now, Daniel's before the king, and he's telling the king, listen, there's no one else that can tell you. All your wise men that you have here can't tell you. He said, and he even goes so far as said, listen, I can't even give you the answer, but God can, and He did. See, there is a God in heaven. Underline that in your, highlight on your phone, underline that in your Bible. There is a God in heaven who reveals. There's a God in heaven who reveals. Listen, Mr. Scientist, who are working on help for this pandemic. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. We want to find the cure? Let's go to God. We want to find the remedy? Let's go to God. Church, we need to be praying for our scientists worldwide and nation here in the United States. Listen, we need to be praying for our government officials to lead with wisdom and prudence. We need to know that they need to know that God's people are rallying around them and lifting them up and praying for them. We need to pray for our scientists. God has given them the ability, the intellect to move forward. We need to lift them up, that God reveal the secret to them, that God be glorified and we have good benefit from it. Listen, with confidence, Daniel approached the king and revealed his dream as well as its interpretation. God brought a glory to Himself and deliverance for Daniel. God brought glory to Himself because God was exalted and Daniel and his friends were delivered. Daniel was promoted to the highest. He was promoted to the lead wise man of all the nation of Babylon, over all of them. And you know what Daniel took with him? He took his faith in God to the leadership position. And it influenced the rest of history, including our Christian faith. Oh, listen. God was faithful. Daniel was promoted all because this young man of God was faithful and then put his faith into action. Action. God took care of him and his friends and resolved their situation. Listen, when life seems out of control, go to God. Seek His presence. Seek His face. Seek His plan. Seek His providence. Seek His purpose in your life. Seek it for our world. Seek it for our state and our nation. Seek it for your church. Seek it for your pastor. Seek God for the leaders. Seek God for your family. Seek God. Know God. Let God be the influence in your life. He's trustworthy. He's in control over His universe. I love what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Whatever the problem may be, listen, whatever the problem may be, don't nurse it, don't curse it, and don't rehearse it. Oh, just go to God, and He'll reverse it. You see, the Lord wants to do something great in His world. God wants us to submit to Him. Because He is ultimately in control out of our out-of-control world. God wants to hear from you, church. He wants to be number one. It's amazing when we put God first, He takes care of everything else for us. But church, He's calling us to repentance. He's calling us to revival. He's calling us to a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. He's calling us to be serious about our faith. Quit playing games. Quit playing this and playing that. Quit being in church one day and out of the church the next day. Quit playing in the world and playing in the church. quit. Just stop. God is calling us. He's got all of our attention now. Will you let him be Lord of your life? Finally, Christian, will you submit yourself to God? Go before the Father. Seek his face for healing over our land. Let's pray together. Father God, today, what a lesson we learned from Daniel. God, I just pray today for your church. Father, we don't have the answer, but God, you do. And Lord, we just submit ourselves to your presence today. We seek your face together this morning. Lord, pour your Holy Spirit out upon us. Lord, give us strength and courage to face the challenges that we are in. God, give us a heart, Lord, that's broken over our sin. God, I pray for repentance among your church. And God, that you want clean vessels to work through. Lord, you want clean vessels to pour yourself into to touch a hurting world that's dying, lost without Jesus. Oh, Father God, today I pray for your church, many who are at home today. Lord, I exalt you among them. Lord, we exalt you in each home that tunes in and represented, Lord. Lord, we pray for our brothers across the world today who are preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We lift them up, fill them with your Spirit, Lord. And God, that people may be touched, that lost would be saved. Those who have been straying, Lord, will come home like the prodigal. And God, through all of this, your name be glorified, edified, and honored among your people, among your world. In Jesus' name, amen.